Okay, we're together here. This is the 26th, the day that we had Thanksgiving here in the United States. And we're starting this week on Moroni, words of Moroni, verse 27. Bob, would you like to read it to us?
Yes, I will be there shortly.
Okay. Well, Michael,
Okay.
why don't you? Okay, go ahead, Bob. Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Just make it just a little larger. Okay. From the sealed records of the prophets, which were summarized and compiled on this set of plates by my father, Mormon, among them is the sealed book of Moses, written by the hand of Moses himself in scrolls of hides, and which had been sealed by his signet ring, and which was later compiled on the plates of the people of Nephi, which contains the records of the prophets, containing the things that he saw concerning this world, and the prophecies concerning the judgments of God that would fall on the inhabitants, the inhabited earth, each in their respective dispensations. For how much King Josiah himself did not endure these prophecies, whose record was found together with the book of the law, when Hilkiah, the high priest in Jerusalem, undertook the restoration of the temple, coming to consult Huldah, the prophetess, to know if any of these terrible events described in this sealed book of Mormon of Moses would have to fall upon the chosen nation of his days.
Okay. Any comments?
I'm just looking up the verses there. First Nephi 19:23. See. And I did read many things unto them which were written in the books of Moses. But that I might more fully persuade them to believe in the Lord their Redeemer, I did read unto them that which was written by the prophet Isaiah. For I did liken all scriptures unto us, that it might be for our profit and learning. So Nephi there is referring to the books, plural, the books of Moses, which I'm guessing included this sealed book.
Right.
And then we have in Moses chapter 1 in the Pearl of Great Price, we also have, let's see, verse 40 through 42. I got that here. I can read it.
Go ahead.
And now, Moses, my son, I will speak unto thee concerning this earth upon which thou standest, and thou shalt write the things which I shall speak. And in a day when the children of men shall esteem my words as naught, and take many of them from the book which thou shalt write, behold, I will raise up another like unto thee, and they shall be had again among the children of men, among as many as shall believe. Now these words were spoken unto Moses in the mount, the name of which shall not be known among the children of men. And now they are spoken unto you, show them not unto any except them that believe, even so, amen. So I always took that verse, verse 41, to be, that's referring to Joseph Smith, right? He gave us the book of Moses in the Pearl of Great Price. But I'm wondering if that has a double meaning, like many of these have double fulfillments, right?
I think so. I think that's a very likely possibility. That we've got Mauricio in that verse as well. Now that we're getting the sealed book of Moses.
Yeah. Yeah, so the sealed book was supposed to come forth in our day, whereas I guess Joseph Smith had brought forth. Where did he get the translation of Moses? Was that done?
It's just a vision. It wasn't a record that he translated. It was just a revealed record.
So I assume that he got that as he was retranslating the New Testament, or the Bible, right?
When
he
did his correct. Correct.
So I think when he went through Genesis, he was given the book of Moses, which we have today in the Pearl of Great Price, but that wasn't, like you said, Russell, a translation. That was more of a vision.
And the RLDS never accepted that. Is that correct, Bob?
The RLDS have it in Genesis. If I'm, I'd have to compare.
They put it in the inspired version.
It's not very long, right? It's only, oh, I don't know, 100 verses or something. It's it's in the books of Genesis about Noah and the everlasting covenant. I don't know if you use the term everlasting covenant, but where it says, "This is my everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then the heavens shall rejoice," and I forget the rest of it, but it's the covenant made to Noah, but it's in Genesis. I don't know how much is in the world Pearl of Great Price.
RLDS doesn't have a Pearl of Great Price.
No, it would be.
Book of Moses is in the inspired version in the Bible, and the book of Abraham, that's what they don't accept, correct?
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah, I got that mixed up a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I think this verse here we just read, I was trying to think in my mind that I think we all believe the scriptures say there's seven dispensations, and we are in the seventh. And so
or six.
I was wondering, pardon, are we in this into the sixth? I don't remember if the millennial reign is a dispensation in itself and the seventh, or that's the beyond the seventh, but because we had Adam and Enoch and Noah and Moses,
Christ.
Christ and Joseph. So there's six. So we're in this into the sixth. No. Yeah, okay. Did I miss somebody?
Well, but the reach like 1,000 years, and it's been 2,000 years since Christ, and so has there been two? It's
Joseph Smith is the.
Well, it's interesting with Mauricio with I got the research lessons. Now of I didn't have them at eight.
The missionary
lessons, and it's quite clear there and plain.
Explain it.
We're in the we're on the end of this of the sixth.
Of the sixth, okay.
And the seventh is when the peace will reign through
bridegroom.
Yeah, when Jesus
okay.
comes.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's what the sealed book says. We just because they named in the sealed book it names the. I think it's in the sealed book and names the major prophets of each dispensation. And it lists five there. Then we can add Christ and Joseph. And or list four there. Then it must list it's Adam, Enoch, Noah, and Moses. Yeah.
Right.
All right. And so there's four. So there's four listed. So we add Jesus and Moses, I mean, Joseph, and that's six. So but I'm wondering here, it would be interesting to, for me anyway, to see if we can identify what these judgments were that were to fall on each dispensation. It says the judgments of God that would fall on the inhabited earth, each in their respective dispensations. And I believe that the judgment in this dispensation is pending. But I'm not is yet to come. But
you're right.
And of course, you know, the first dispensation we had the flood. Or is that did that fall in the second? I don't know. But anyway, I wondered between the lines here, you know.
Yeah. First dispensation might be getting cast out of the Garden of Eden. Second dispensation be the flood. Third dispensation. Oh, Enoch. Let's see, Enoch's in there.
It's actually, you know, with the different seasons, you know, with the first the grain and then the vine, the wine, the treading of the press, and then the oil. So the oil is is the Holy Spirit. So that's the anointed oil. And so probably we're talking about the baptism with fire, you know, of the earth with fire. So what Joseph Smith said, you can baptize a person with water, but you can also baptize a bag of sand. It doesn't matter if you don't have the baptism with fire, I think. And that is being poured out on the earth right now in the gathering of all the tribes and the whole concept of, adoption. You know, everybody's hung up with a literal family and DNA. And that's a part of the thing. I think it has to do with the understanding of the direct contact with our Father in heaven, to seek his counsel and to know how, if this is from God or not, this sealed book. But it's so interesting here. Also, I wanted to add that the signet ring, that is this dispensation of Moses was also a sealing, you know, that it's so perfectly fits together in all dispensations that things are hidden, so you have to search. And I think I'm contemplating this a lot about people needing a leader. Also with we just had a politic
elections
here, very interesting developments. So you can we are we ready for the higher stuff of the being led by the Spirit, and that's so interesting that we get all these confirmations in the patterns of the scriptures. So we have to understand our dispensation too, that it's the oil of the Holy Spirit, the maybe has to do also with the over-self idea of how it's Hurtak is writing about it in the Keys of Enoch, that we have to learn to accept the global part of the plan of the not only your individual enlightenment and salvation, but of groups and tongues and nations, you know, unification of who we are, where we are in the process. Okay, sorry, maybe too much in one time, but good to see you, brothers.
Yes. I want to talk about the second Kings 22, verse 14. And so Hilkiah the priest and Hakim and Abgabor and Shaphan.
Oh, excuse me. You missed the 2 Kings 22, verse 8 to 20.
Oh, did I miss one? Oh, yeah, let's go back into 8 through 20. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work. They have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Through verse 20. And it came to pass when the Lord king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achor the son of Machaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that was written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shapham, and Ashiath went unto Hildu, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Habas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants, therefore, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And then I shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Okay, that was a little longer than. But that was, yeah, kind of neat, the way the king humbled himself and avoided the curses that would have happened. I think it's also interesting that the prophetess, Hilda, is the one that got the word of the Lord proclaimed to them. We get so tied up in the idea that prophets are only men, but there are at least a couple different places in the Bible where there's prophetesses.
And it fits so nicely with the Nemanha also, you know, the emphasis on the woman and the fountain of living waters, there is no, yeah, that's balancing up again, it seems, that we're ready for that now.
It's interesting that it says between brackets. Is that also with you, Russell, when you read it? Now, she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college.
Yeah, it was in parentheses.
In verse 14. In what? Not brackets?
Parentheses.
Oh, parentheses. Okay.
Brackets are square. Parentheses is curved.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so she was a learned woman.
Yes.
There was a college in Jerusalem, obviously.
Yeah.
Apparently so.
Her husband was cleaning the clothes of the temple guards.
So you do the laundry, honey.
Well, it's of course stands out, like you said, Russell, that all these guys, Hilkiah, in verse 14, they're all named Hilkiah, Ahikam, Achbor, Shephan, Asahiah. Yeah, they all go to visit Huldah. And
isn't Shephan the father of Lehi?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And Lehi's name before it was Lehi was
Eliasib.
So he's not mentioned in this verses.
But I think his father. We get the name of his brother. Ahi.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a very interesting part. And yeah, what dispensation do we live now? Well, it's what's going on right now is in verse 17. They have forsaken me, have burned incense unto other gods. Well, there's idolatry all around us. That they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Like some people are oblivious to... If it's like pop stars, you know, you think, oh, what a cute song, well, how great, and you dance along, and then once you start listening to the lyrics, and I'm like, okay, what is this? What am I listening to, you know? And also the big concerts of the pop stars, you know, they're like, people sometimes are never the same after a concert. It's that time.
The movies, the entertainment industry becomes our god of this day.
Yeah.
I call it the blues cruise. The cruise blues. How big can the cruise get? You know, it's the most polluting form of vacancy or holiday. I'm sorry.
But anyway.
Anyway.
It's very interesting about the prophetess. I'm now reading a book, and it's about Maria of Magdalene, and it's called The Gospel of the Beloved Companion, and it's seems to be written by her, and orally it's been
handed down.
They published it, decided to publish it in 2010. And it's really interesting it says, I don't know for sure, but it says that Jesus appointed Maria as the head of the apostles.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard that.
So, something to think about, you know. It's the voice of women has been long been oppressed. It's good to hear something from her.
Yeah. And this is not Mary the mother. This is Mary. No.
Well, yeah, she's always been called different names. Yeah.
This is the Mary Magdalene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who also anointed Jesus, you know, with the oil.
Right.
But anyway, so there's a lot of things we still don't know about being prophetess or women holding the priesthood. Okay.
Yeah.
And the priest.
How does that work, you know?
And the scribes also is in this verse. The importance of scribes, the family of scribes, which we never knew before, that Lehi came from a family of scribes. Just like in India, they have these families of musicians or, you know, that it's a family thing.
Yeah.
That I love that about the emphasis on the plates and the worth of the scriptures. You know, people think of them as of no worth. To try to get people read the Niemenhau or the Mentina archives or the book of Enoch, that's heavy stuff. If you already have all the real scriptures, it's a lot to know by heart, you know.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Hiram, would you like to read verse 28?
Yeah. But all the records of Moses, my father Mormon compiled, only a summary, leaving aside the prophecies and pointing to a wise future purpose, the issues related to the Melchizedek priesthood among the covenant people, from the beginning to the end of all preconceived times. For how much the remaining content of this book of Moses will be on the plates that will be revealed only when Christ comes to his temple in the last days. So
we think we've got the Book of Mormon, or we think we've got the sealed Book of Moses, but there's still a lot more.
There's only a summary, only a summary. And I read the part of, maybe some of you have read in the Mentina archives, of the prophet Ugu, who is there when Jesus comes, and it's also kind of seen, you know, with what's also in the sealed book, that he asks Nephi to bring all the plates, you know, and then it says he slightly gazed upon the book of Mosiah, and then he said that you really try to vision it, that he's there. And it was so interesting that he was calling this Ugu. So Jesus comes and he speaks to the people and then he calls, come forth, Ugu. Yeah, it's so amazing that we only have a little part, you know. And why wouldn't you read all of that to know more? Somebody in the class said that Joseph, I thought it was Steve, but that Joseph Smith had said, believe all you can, you know. And I was always so hung up, is it this the Church of Jesus Christ? And now...
It came from you, that quote, Michael. I think you wrote it once.
Yeah, I think I may have read that in a previous... I can't remember where I found that, but yeah, he said something to the effect of, you know, learn as much as you can. Why limit yourself?
Yeah, it was so liberating for me when I... Brother Steve sent me some of these other... also the Chronicles of the Children of Aranek. Probably going there check that out, but it's a lot. You have to have a profound feeling of the worth of scriptures to study people that don't even exist anymore, that you could learn from that. So it's at the core of the whole gospel for me, the very, very importantness of the scriptures. So that was 28.
Right.
And also that some of it isn't only by Jesus, and that isn't that great. So he's testing us all the time.
Yeah. Well, this next verse, Bob, would you like to read that one? That brings in information about Lehi.
29. Therefore, it was in the care of the family of Lehi, whose name was Elasa, before the Lord called him. For inasmuch as his father Shaphan, as well as his forefathers before him, was the secretary and scribe of the king of Judah, and with that he was acquainted with the language of his ancestors and also of the Phoenicians, as well as the Chaldeans, and from which Abraham proceeded, and also of the Egyptian writing, for how much the Hebrews were taken captive by Pharaoh after Joseph perished in Egypt until Moses delivered them.
Yay. Does anybody have the Jeremiah 29, 1 through 3?
I've got that one.
Go ahead.
Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and of Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, I think that's basically showing you that here's Elasa, here's Lehi in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's Elasa before it was changed to Lehi. And Lehi is, do we get that in this verse? Or we got it in a different verse that means by whom God restores or something like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I think it's interesting how many of the languages Lehi knew. And so we overlook the fact that he was well prepared to deal in the languages and the documents.
Exactly. And then also the emphasis of Joseph Smith.
Oh, it's in verse 9, Moroni 9, where it says, by means of whom God restores.
Yeah.
Words of Moroni 9.
Verse 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Eliasib. Lehi is an abbreviation of Eliasib, which means by means of whom God restores. I was looking further, I was looking forward, not backwards, to find that. Thank you, Beth.
Sometimes you gotta look backwards.
Yeah.
It's so interesting in politics also. I'm noticing more of that now. People only to look at the future also has a brings problems. If you don't want to give reckon of
learn from the past.
Learn from the past, yeah. To deny the past.
So I guess the there's a 2 Kings 22 verse 3, which I guess we haven't read yet. 22 verse 3, it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaleel, the son of Meshullam, the scribe to the house of the Lord, saying. And then we've got 1 Nephi 1 verse 2. Baki, do you have that First Nephi?
Almost.
First two, yeah.
Yay. Yay, I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians.
Yeah. I think it's just interesting how much more is implied there that we get out of this verse 29 that we didn't realize how much we
knew. Yeah, which also interesting that he first calls the language of his ancestors. He was acquainted with the language of his ancestors, and then, and also, of the Phoenicians. And I think the Phoenicians, it was kind of a relative new thing then, and then as well as the Chaldeans. Which Abraham, which was older again. But the whole Phoenician influence with the new alphabet coming probably from Tyrus in North Africa. Very interesting history of the Phoenicians and the alphabet. Ah. So there's a lot of things coming together in this. They also call it... the spill tide in history, the axis of some kind of focal point
where everything
comes together, like 600, 700 BC. So I'm studying that period a lot. It's interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you mean like an inflection point? Everything kind of comes together?
Yes.
Yeah, Lehi was, he came from a long line of scribes to the kings of Judah. So it makes sense that he himself would act as scribe and you know, protect scripture and write his own books and his sons after him, right? They kept the tradition going here in the Americas.
And it would also explain the reverence the older brothers of Nephi had for their father and their own craftsmanship. You know that you would think, well, why are they so rebellious? And then they go with him later on again. You know that it's their whole culture that was their thing and rich also. You know that what we knew. We knew that they were rich, they had to leave all the riches, but that they really were from a tribe of people only busy with knowledge, you know, language and knowledge. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and Laman Lemuel probably had great skills in language, but that's why they were a little upset that their younger brother was taken over.
Right again, yeah. Oh, always the same.
Yeah,
I loved when this Dutch football soccer player was a leader in Asia or Korea or somewhere, and there it wasn't allowed to have a younger member of the team, the soccer team, that they would be the first one, you know, to lead the rest of the team on the courtyard. And he changed that you could have a younger guy who's talented, you know. It's so interesting with pride.
Yeah.
And tradition.
And tradition.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'll read verse 30. Thus, Lehi had been commissioned by the Lord to protect this record of Moses and directed to cross the great waters soon after returning from Babylon, when in the early days of the reign of Mattaniah, which had been given the name of Zedekiah, he was sent to Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, to Nebuchadnezzar with a message from the king of Judah. It was at this time that Jeremiah the prophet sent to the care of Elijah, that is by Lehi, a letter to the chief elders of Judah and Jerusalem, who were exiled in the land of Babylon. I wanted to comment on Zedekiah. You notice that the name Zedekiah was given to the king Mattaniah. And actually, there's two Zedekiahs at that time. The Zedekiah we normally associate didn't start reigning until 597 or so. And so he was not the Zedekiah of Lehi's time. That was 600 BC. His brother, I believe it was. And it actually, there's one place in the Bible that it actually names the brother, calls him Zedekiah. And so some people get upset. Oh, the Book of Mormon is not true because this doesn't line up with the right dates. And yet there's another Zedekiah.
Yeah, I think John Pratt wrote an excellent article about that back in 2000. It's called Lehi's 600-Year Prophecy of the Birth of Christ. And he discovered that this Zedekiah was actually Mattaniah. I don't know how he... I'll have to go back and reread that.
He helped me. And I responded to Bob Moore's, one of his comments, because of what John Pratt was helping me understand about that Zedekiah.
Yeah, he was a vassal king, I guess. But when you're a vassal king, they give you a new name because you're subservient to them, right? So Nebuchadnezzar called him Zedekiah because I think his brother was also named Zedekiah. So
exactly.
I don't know the whole backstory, but yeah, that's Mattaniah. We get the name here.
Yep.
Should I read in 31?
Yes, please.
And it came to pass, therefore, that this record of Moses was again sealed by Shaphan, the father of Lehi, or Shaphan, I don't know how they pronounce that, Shaphan, the father of Lehi, after the order of Josiah, the king of Judah, for the posterity of Israel and his seed, as set forth in the record of Lehi, which we don't have, for insomuch that his writings were hidden by him and his brethren in a cave that lay between the mountainous plain of Meara, east of Sidon, and which was later required of Lehi to bring with him to this land of promise. So King Josiah said, okay, well, if this isn't going to happen in our day, fine, let's seal this back up and we'll maintain it for the posterity of Israel. Hidden by, who is the hymn that is referring to? Was it hidden by Lehi and his brothers or hidden by Josiah? I'm guessing maybe that's referring to Lehi and his brother, which we just got the name of one of his brothers in the Old Testament. Meara, east of Sidon. I'm assuming that as Lehi came out of Jerusalem, this was on the way. They made a stop here, grabbed additional records that they needed, and brought them with them. I don't know if this was before or after he sent his sons back to get the plates from Laban. the brass plates.
Yeah, I think before, because it was later required of Lehi.
Yeah, I think they for further notice, you know, that they first put it there.
Yeah. Hopefully one day we get the record of Lehi. I know we've talked about that a little here, but
yeah,
I'm assuming that eventually the Lord will raise up another to translate that work, or it'll come forth in the millennium sometime so that we can have all of the books together compiled into a single record.
Or the person that has it maybe publishes it and says, okay, this needs to be shared with the world. This could also happen.
All right, Bob, you want to share what share with you what you know?
No.
Well, I can tell you about the. I think you might be referring to what Brother Maciel said to me, that he was asked by the leaders of the LDS Church to translate the Book of Lehi. And so he translated about the first six chapters or so and gave it to them. So there's a lot of suppositions after that. So,
yeah, apparently they have the original somehow and they wanted to compare it against theirs.
That's what we assume, but we don't, you know.
Yeah.
I can't prove that.
I mean, it'd be nice if they did have it. It'd be nice if they published it and just say that this is apocryphal. You know, this is, read it for what it's worth. We're not going to canonize it with our scriptures, but we do have what we think is, you know, the original. Or maybe even they have the modified version. I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah. Well, I know this is recorded, but I'll try to be kind. Is that, let's see, I'm trying to think, put it in context. I believe it's in the Revelations that refers to that church as the great and abominable church, which is something that sort of surprised me. And given that, I think that was because the Lord felt that way because they had the fullness of the gospel and they weren't good stewards over it. And they changed it. And just so Brother Mauricio is commissioned with restoring the ancient way of things, with the beginning with the ordinances, and then with the knowledge that he's trying to present to us in the school of the prophets, this ancient knowledge that will be necessary between now and the redemption of Zion. I forget the point I was going to make. I don't know if I made the point or not. I'm sorry. But anyway, that might be a loose end. I might think of how to tie it up here in a minute.
Okay. I think what we'll do is we'll go through verse 35 for today. I think we've got 33, 34, and 35 left.
Brother Bob, you were trying to be kind. Do you remember?
That's the Lord made that explanation that church is the great and abominable church, at least a great and abominable church. Maybe I'll find the reference to it. That I'll be right back. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I think it's interesting that in Mormon 8:28, it talks about how the church had been polluted. And the Holy Church of God had been polluted, and there's only one that would fit that designation, supposedly. So, I think that scriptures are clear that indeed that is indeed the case.
Well, we all need to repent. So, yeah. But there are things going on right now. It's clearly not of God. So, yeah.
Now, can you elaborate what you're referring to, Bakia?
Two stories of the church.
Yeah, what are they doing that's clearly not of God?
Well, the sacrament, for instance.
The fact that it doesn't have wine, you mean? Or
yeah, but also
they changed it.
Well, you know the stories that come out of but it's everywhere. Corruption is everywhere, you know. When it gets out of hand, corruption is easily.
But for me, the
is easily existing.
The sacrament to not kneel that they used to kneel, which is in the it's a good example, I think.
Okay.
It's never meant to be for people, old people or disabled people. I don't always kneel. I try when I can, but you know, but to really keep it out, that's some kind of pride thing, I think, which is very obvious and clear and plain. My sole comfort in plain is the sort of the plain. It should be plain to see also, you know, if we have a just God, which we have.
Okay, good.
So the references to that phrase is in the book of Revelations. I mean, in this, the second invitation, Revelations. The first reference says, it talks about, well, that's the second reference. The first reference says, is verse 105, which is probably Article 1. It says, one cannot restructure the church and rescue those who belong to me without properly considering that great and abominable church which bears my name. And then it goes on and identifies it as the church led by Brigham Young in verse 106. And then in, let's see, Article 3, verse 11, it talks about the Relief Society given in the beginnings of the Restoration, but which today is for the exclusive use of that great and abominable church, and goes on. So those are the references which identifies that. And so, you know, the first in the Book of Mormon, it talks about the great and abominable church, and a lot of people may equate that with another mega church that's, you know, that coming out of Rome. And but no, I don't think so, not given this information. So and I'm sorry, I forgot the point, the reason I brought that up. Sorry. This probably wasn't worth saying. So
I think it all ties back to, you know, rather than hide the records, if they're out there, bring them forth and let people, you know, make their own determination, read them, pray about it, you know. But I think regardless, at some future point, we will get the whole, you know, the whole record that Mormon compiled on his plates are going to be compiled into a single book eventually, hopefully. Hopefully it'll all be brought together. We won't just have bits and pieces of it scattered through different, you know, different organizations. We'll have it all in one.
Yeah. My theory, which is just my theory, that the reason if the LDS Church has the original lost pages, that it's incriminating to them some way.
Could be. Yeah. Michael, would you like to read verses 33 through 35?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we did 32.
Oh, okay.
I'll read that as well.
Sure.
And it came to pass when Lehi was commissioned that when he was overpowered by the Spirit of the Lord, he was shown the sealed book of Moses, which he would have to protect, and that he was required to read of its pages, thus coming to understand that which his father Shaphan had read years before to King Josiah concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, when he rent his garments before the prophecies described by the great Moses, which were to occur in all ages until the coming of the Messiah, and after him to the consummation of the fullness of time. Thus, with the other records on the brass plates from the beginning to Jeremiah, they were required by the Lord that Lehi should bring them from Jerusalem to this land of promise. Okay, so that we were talking about that. Did it happen before or after? Well, he was shown in his vision when his name was changed that he was to take the sealed book of Moses with him, protect it, bring it to the new land of promise, as well as the brass plates all the way from Genesis down to Jeremiah, which was his contemporary up until that time. Do we want to read the footnotes or keep going?
I think keep going.
Nevertheless, over time, the very book of the law, except for the sealed book of Moses prophecies, had been transcribed in many brass books with the wise purpose of the Lord for the days of King Benjamin, which were distributed among the priests of the people of the Nephite nation, that they might remember the law of the Lord and might teach the people to keep themselves holy before the heavens. For this reason, it was that my father, Mormon, summed up among the two books of Moses, which I have in a footnote here, Torah and sealed book. I think in a previous recording, John Pratt had pointed that out, that the two books of Moses were likely the Torah and this sealed book. My father, Mormon, summed up among the two books of Moses only the one that had been sealed, and which had never been revealed to the children of the covenant because of their iniquities. In turn, only those who truly believed and sought to know the mysteries of God and received him received this knowledge. However, it was forbidden to divulge them. And then we get the reference to Alma chapter 12, verse 9 through 11. That's the one about the mysteries of the kingdom of God are held under strict command only by the obedience of the children of men. And now this record, that record which in ancient times had been sealed by the great prophet Moses, is summed up in these sealed plates of Mormon to be revealed only at the appointed time of the Lord. So is that referring to the section that we have in this book, or the section of Moses, sealed Moses, that will come forth in the sealed portion that remains? I'm thinking it's the one that we have here. It came forth already.
And I think there may be a dual meaning there too, just like we've seen elsewhere.
Yeah, possibly. Yep.
And the Moses verse that we, Moses 1:23 talks about, and now of this thing, Moses bore record, but because of wickedness, it is not had among the children of men. Echoing what's in the Alma verse.
Yeah, verse 34, because of their iniquities.
It's interesting, the mysteries, only those who sought to know the mysteries of God, diligently seeking the mysteries. It's so interesting how consequent it is over the whole book. And I personally also, this week I gave a friend the opportunity to look at the Dutch translation, sealed book, but he only looked at the cover, and then he returned it back to me, you know. So, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. You know, we first have to get people who are
enthusiastic about the same knowledge.
Yeah, and getting to know things for themselves, because some people just are not, they cannot do without leaders. You have to have people who are willing to, know for themselves, you know, that you would broaden your discernment and become more responsible. So we don't have time And so for me, it's really, I've become more aware that this is really how it is. It's not possible otherwise. And it's also necessary to have some kind of unity among each other to give it a chance that, okay, go ahead, Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, you're not. I thought you
No, I'm going to say something, but I'm waiting for you to finish. I was going to ask you, so is there a Dutch version, a published Dutch version now?
No, we just for ourselves. Bakker can't, we cannot yet
distribute.
Say it's, this is it.
But it's a preliminary. That's neat.
But it helps. It helps. Translations help.
Yes, it's going to be a big help. So, yeah.
So someone is working on the Dutch one. Is that you? You're working on a Dutch translation?
Yes.
And the hope is to eventually have that published. Someone needs to bless it and say it's okay, or what's the process?
Not sure. I want to go through it again one time and then read it out loud and then say okay, and then offer it to the...
The church?
To the church, I think. I'm not sure. I haven't.
Mauricio, yeah.
Because it's a project that I started on my own, but it was good to be doing. So, I think it will clear a lot of things. Not everybody speaks English here, of course.
Yeah,
huh? Especially the older people.
Well, even English has a few problems. Melba was working on cleaning up the English. Do you know where that's at, Bob? It was originally going to be done by the November conference, and we didn't have a November conference.
Yes, but Brother Joan was going to go ahead and print the English version that's been distributed. And as far as the other changes, I think it's just still in process. It's, I think you realize it's a huge job, but I don't see, I don't really know, but I don't think we've made much progress.
So I thought Melba was working on that. You say Joan's working on it.
No, did I say that? No, John said what they're going to do. You know that pocket version, that so-called pocket version they did in Portuguese that has the pictures in the back of it? Maybe you don't see it. There's a copy out there. I can go get it, but it's a small version. They're going to do a print the sealed book in that format, the English book in that format.
Ah.
And then when they get updated sealed book, the next version will have the updated account in it.
Okay.
So I can go get it while you're doing whatever you're doing. Hopefully I'll be back soon.
Okay.
And I'll show you.
Sure.
Well, we know enough to know the words.
Yeah.
We know enough to get the message in the book, I think. But, yeah.
I agree.
Well, it's similar to the book of the children of Aaronic. I know Matthew Gill, when they've done two versions or something, and there's still a lot of grammatical errors and spellings.
Okay. But
I think this next version that he's raising money for, I think this is to be, I think they've gone through and corrected a lot of the grammar and the misspellings, but we get the gist of the book, right? We understand the meaning, regardless of the imperfections of man, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't have to be perfect, you know. Work on it.
To those who believe, it doesn't have to be perfect. That's the Portuguese book. It's a small book. I don't know. That's my cell phone.
5x7,
It's nicely done. They outsourced it to prepare it, and then in the back, this is the version that has the photographs in the back. There's about 10 photographs. You've probably seen most of these photographs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that in it. So I don't know if you can see those, but and that's what they're going to do in English.
So oh, is it already in English?
No, this is what they'll print next in the English.
Oh, okay.
This form.
Are they going to be able to make it available to something, order it online?
You know, that's an issue, Brother Russell. In the front, it says forbidden sale. And this was a point of contention, actually, with Joseph Frederick Smith.
Mm-hmm.
As Mauricio said, it was not to be sold. And so I know to sell it at cost on Amazon is maybe, you know, debatable. They weren't making any money on it. You know, it's $4 and what, 65 cents or something. It was maybe made a few cents on it, but it says not to be sold, forbidden sale. So I'm not sure what the distribution will be. I don't know. I can't say if it's ever going to be on one of those marketplaces or not.
All right.
Yes, I want to make a correction because I said it doesn't have to be perfect. Okay, it can be perfect. Yes, Brother Bob. Yeah, but
I just say that you see, if it was evident in some of the early meetings with the missionaries in the center place in Independence, when the eight missionaries sort of went out to the different branches and told their story about the sealed book. Most of the criticism centered around the artifacts, the sword, you know, the plates themselves, and nothing. They never read the book, so I don't think they had anything to say about the message, you know. And so they were picking on the message. Well, some people who are opposed to it, you know, if it's not perfect English, you know, they'll say it's clunky English or something. It doesn't read like the Book of Mormon, like the last book of Moroni in the Book of Mormon, you know, and they use it as a criticism, you know. So but I think that's those who believe, you know, that's not an issue. And even maybe it's a test. The Lord didn't make it exactly like the Book of Mormon because it's not the Book of Mormon. I don't know.
Sure.
Yes, okay. I just want to say that you can strive for perfection, but you must not expect perfection at first, because otherwise you don't take action. You don't start.
Yeah.
I think over time they'll get, you know, if we find typograph errors in there or whatever,
sure,
there'll be changes, you know.
Yeah, but it's just
in Mormon chapter 9, verse 31. I mean, it speaks to the same point. It says, "Condemn me not because of mine imperfection, neither my father because of his imperfection. Neither them who have written before him, but rather give thanks unto God that he hath made manifest unto you our imperfections, that he may learn to be more wise than we. And if our plates had been sufficiently large, we should have written in Hebrew, but the Hebrew has been altered. And if we could have written in Hebrew before, we would have had no imperfection in our record." So they knew that, you know, because of the difficulty of scratching, you know, characters on a plate, that they couldn't get it exactly perfect. But the message, I think, is still conveyed. We understand what they mean. And there's plenty of play. There's a few spots in the Book of Mormon where you see that they start to write, and then it says, "or rather, you know, such and such." You know, they couldn't go back and erase on the plates. They had to just kind of keep going. So that to me is kind of even more of a testament of the truthfulness of the record, you know, because we even have the imperfections in it.
That's why we always should check with the Lord, you know. Why would you need a prayer if everything is, you know, so obvious?
Yeah.
So it helps us to connect to our Father also.
Yeah, I think one thing about the writing in this ancient language I can't imagine any of the scholars in the world can read it, what the original symbols meant. It had to come forth through a seer, through the seer stones, you know, to reveal the message. And that's what God wanted, to put it in such a form that it's not readable with the human eye or the human intellect. It had to be, the message had to come through the seer stones into whatever language the Lord wanted.
Very good. Thank you. Well, I think we're about done for today. Let's have a closing song and a prayer. Michael, would you like to offer our prayer?
Sure.
Okay, so we're going to sing God of Our Fathers, and then we'll pray. So let me get this. I'll share the screen. And then I've got to find our music.
Do you want to keep recording, Russell? Or?
Oh, I'm sorry. I need to stop the recording. Thank you.